This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majestic, the most high. We believe in Him, and upon Him do we rely. He saved the Ark of Nuh on Mount Judi, and He spoke to Musa on Mount Sinai. He hears the plea of the one in distress, and He responds to his silent cry. He taught us how to worship Him, and how our hearts to purify, and reveal to us the Quran, whose recitation with our voices we beautify. He sent to us a prophet, whose sunnah we try to exemplify, and He blessed us with a sharia that we model our lives around and live by. So we ask Allah's forgiveness on the day, we ask Allah's forgiveness on the day that we shall be resurrected after we die. And may salat and salam be upon His prophet, whose excellence we cannot quantify. As to what follows, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us to be conscious of Him in the Quran when He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Dear Muslims, in the last few weeks or months, a particular hadith has been mentioned in many khutbas and lectures. And every few months or years, this hadith is brought forth. And it is a hadith of great relevance to all of us. But today I want to look at this hadith from a slightly different angle. It is the famous hadith of Thawban, one of the freed servants of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawood and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. And it goes as follows: Yushiku an tada'a alaykumul umamu. It is only a matter of time before all of the ummas of the earth will call one another to attack you. Min kulli ufuk, from every single corner of the globe, they will call one another to attack you. Kama tada'a al-akalatu ala qas'atiha. The same way that people who are gonna eat food are called to eat from a common plate. So the nations of the earth are gonna be inviting each other. Come attack, no problem. Bismillah tafaddal. Yalla, come, let's eat. Like people are invited to a common plate, the umam, the nations, are going to be publicly, without any shame, without any embarrassment, calling one another to go and come and attack our ummah. The Sahaba could not understand how this can happen. And so they asked, أَوَ مِنْ قِلَّةٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is it because we are very few, so we cannot defend ourselves? Is it because we don't have the quantity? And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La, no, not because of quantity, but antum yawma idhin kathir. On that time, you're going to be plentiful. Walakinnakum takununa ghutha'an kaghutha'i sail. But you're going to be like the foam of the ocean. You know, when you walk to the ocean, you look at the ocean. Every wave, it has a little bit of froth. Every wave, it has, mashallah, everywhere you see, but how long does it last? What does it do? What's its usefulness? You will be everywhere, but short-lived, no benefit, just something to see." And the Prophet ﷺ went on, and he said, "Tunza'ul mahabatu min suduri aduwikum." The respect and awe that your enemies used to have shall be taken out of their hearts. وَيُجْعَلُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهَنِ. And in your own hearts there shall be a weakness. They said, "What weakness, Ya Rasulullah?" He said, حُبُّ الْحَيَاتِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. A love of this world, a love of life, and a hatred of death. This beautiful hadith, we've heard it many times over and over again. But so much benefit is to be derived. It's only a matter of time, our Prophet ﷺ said. And he said this when the state had been established, when Medina was already a power, when Medina was on the rise. He said, it's only a matter of time, the situation will change. Tada'a alaykumul umam. Tada'a, they're going to be mutually calling. They're going to be inviting one another. No shame, no embarrassment, no fear. And the comparison is given, like people are called to a plate of food. A plate of food has resources. It has natural wealth. It has things people want. Your ummah will have things people will want it. Your ummah, our ummah, is going to have things others are greedy for. And they will have so little haya and shame that they will publicly humiliate you, publicly call one another to attack you, and not fear any repercussion. And the symbolism that was given, we are like the foam of the ocean wave. We are everywhere in quantity, but very short-lived, very little purpose, no meaning. And explicitly we are told, awe shall be removed from the hearts of your enemies. They used to have mahaba. Mahaba in Arabic means a sense of dignity and awe. They would have a genuine sense of fear. Haiba, we actually use this in the Arabic language to describe reverence, to describe an element of respect along with fear of the consequences. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from the hearts of your enemies, they used to have this awe, it shall be removed from them. If we do not see this hadith in action right now as we speak, then when else will we see it in action? Right now as we speak, the nations of the earth are giving a blind eye, vetoing any ceasefire against our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Today, the highest court in this whole world, and that is the International Court of Justice, it fell short of calling for a ceasefire. And it said that it is possible there might be a genocide taking place. That's all. It is potentially possible. But they fell short of actually calling it a genocide. And they fell short of actually calling for a ceasefire. What more evidence do we need? On live British television 2 days ago, as the interviewer is interviewing somebody, innocent civilians carrying the white flag, saying, I need to pick up my son over there. I just want to make sure everybody sees me. I'm just going over there. On live British television, an innocent civilian was shot down in front of his own son and wife. There is no ambiguity. And the level of haiba from the enemy's hearts is so diminished, it is so gone, that the world rulers, our own country and England's ruler, cannot even say that this is wrong. They can't even verbalize. They've seen the footage. The video is crystal clear. They're asked point blank, do you not condemn the killing of an innocent person carrying a white flag trying to protect his own son? And our presidents and prime ministers don't even have the courage to call it immoral and a crime. Forget ceasefire. Forget humanitarian aid. They can't even call the cold-blooded execution in broad daylight on live video. They can't even say this is a crime. If this is not a manifestation, an example of what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted, the haiba from the hearts of the enemies will be gone. They're going to be inviting one another, do as you please. There are no consequences whatsoever. So today, dear brothers and sisters, I want to ask a very blunt and bold question. And that question is, how do we go from being the foam of the ocean to becoming the wave of the ocean? How do we transform from being useless to becoming useful? How do we exchange the situation from being weak to becoming powerful? From being impotent to becoming forceful? From being useless to becoming useful? This is the bold and blunt question we need to be asking ourselves. For how long are we going to be the foam and the froth? When will we regain our rightful place of being the wave, of being the change, of being the force and the power? The answer to this question is in the hadith itself. And I will extract 5 benefits from the hadith itself, from the imagery, from the wordings that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. We will extract 5, and because of time I have to do only 5 more can be done. Number one, the hadith is very clear. It is super explicit. What matters is not quantity, it is quality. What matters is not how many we are, it is how pure and how powerful each one of us is. So stop looking to the right and looking to the left. Stop hunting for answers of who's going to do. And you and I, we stand up and say, let me do something. Don't worry about numbers. Our Prophet said it's not because of numbers. It has nothing to do with numbers. You can have 1.8 billion people on the face of this earth as we do. You can have 57 countries member of the OIC. 57 countries have declared themselves to be members of a global ummah. You can have multiple dynasties that are oil rich. Hundreds of multi-billionaires on the face of this earth. And yet an army of less than 300,000, that's all that army is, can massacre women and children defenselessly on live television, and nothing can be done, not even a condemnation from within or without. Forget numbers. Forget quantity. It is quality we want. We have seen what quantity can do. Nothing. So then, don't look to the right and left. Look to yourself. Look within. What can I do? What is my role? What can my contributions give to this ummah? The hadith is very clear. It is not quantity we're after, it is quality. And this explains the magnificent conquest of the Sahaba. Do you think the Sahaba had more than the Romans? Do you think they had better equipment than the Persians? Do you think this magnificent early conquest of Islam, they took place because the power of their weaponry, because of their training, because of their pedigree and CVs that they had? No, wallahi, it is the quality of their iman, the sincerity in their hearts, the taqwa present in their qulub. Secondly, the imagery that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, the foth and the frome, just the top of the waves. What imagery? What can we derive from this imagery? What exactly is the foam and the froth of the ocean? It is superficial. It is temporary. It is at surface level. It comes and it goes. The foam of the waves, it disappears immediately. But it is the waves that bring the actual change. And where do the waves come from? Even though the waves are manifested at the top, we all know the formation of those waves go deep, deep, deep into the ocean. Waves come from the interactions of the various temperatures inside the ocean. Waves come from deep within the ocean's belly. If you want to cause a change, your own insides, your own qalb, your own heart, it has to be deeply rooted in iman and taqwa. Allah mentions in the Quran the reality of iman and the people of iman. Asluha thabitun wa far'uha fis sama'. The roots of iman go deep into the qalb. Asluha thabit, the foundations are firm. If you want to stop being the froth and start being the wave, you need to strengthen your inner foundations. You need to strengthen your qalb. You need to strengthen your iman. You need to strengthen your knowledge and your awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we need to do. And in order to do so, every change begins with our relationship with Allah and our awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our taqwa, our khushu', our ihsan must permeate through our inside, and then it will be manifested as a powerful wave on the outside. So we don't want to be like the froth and the foam. We want to be like the wave, which means we begin from deep within, just like the waves of the ocean begin from deep within. Thirdly, the foam of the ocean, the froth that the Prophet called us, it is obvious that foam and froth, it has no power, it's impotent. It is actually following the waves. The waves are not caused by it, it is caused by the waves. And what this shows us is that if you want to become a wave rather than the froth and the foam, we need to start being proactive rather than reactive. We cannot just answer to every single issue that comes and go with the flow. We cannot be like a leaf in the wind. Wherever the wind blows, we go with it. We have to have a solid anchor. We cannot just be reactionary, which is what we are doing for the last few decades. We need to be brave enough to be visionary, to think 5-10 steps ahead, to break away from the flow, to be brave enough to challenge and to think independently. The fact of the matter is that the bulk of our discourses, the bulk of our religious rhetoric, the bulk of our fatwa and dialogue, it is all reactionary. And at some level it is needed. I'm not dismissing all of it. But who amongst us is thinking in the visionary level? Who is becoming the wave, breaking away from the flow? Who is setting the trends rather than responding only to the trends? Once upon a time, we set the trends. Once upon a time, we were the waves and the rest of the world was the froth and the foam. But today, wherever the world goes, we follow along with it. Whatever is politically correct or incorrect, we're the ones following along with it. And that's not how change is going to happen. You want to become the wave? You're going to have to start thinking in a visionary manner and not just in a reactionary manner. And what that means, we're going to have the bravery and the courage to explore, to think where people have not explored before. Sometimes we might make mistakes, so be it. But there's no way to move forward unless you're willing to budge from where you are and explore new territory. So the third reality of this example, we have to stop being reactionary, stop being those who go with the current, and start thinking beyond the current. Start thinking literally as visionaries as this ummah is. And this leads me to my fourth derivation from this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ literally said that the mahaba from your enemies' hearts will be taken away. They used to have a sense of awe of you guys. They used to look up to you. They used to respect you. They used to have some izzah for you. It's all gone now, as we see. Cold-blooded murder can occur, and you can't even call it murder. This is the reality of the world we live in. So the question arises then, how does one gain this sense of izzah and mahaba? How does one go about gaining the respect? Not that we desire that respect in and of itself, but there's no doubt having that respect brings its benefits and perks. The response, sisters and brothers, is so obvious. The response, one does not gain respect. One does not gain mahaba by flouting the dunya in front of the people. One does not gain respect by outbeating them in what they are accustomed to. No. You want to see mahaba and respect? The live example that we've all seen, that elderly grandfather in Gaza, our brother Khalid, who lost his granddaughter, the soul of my soul, who lost his granddaughter. He doesn't have any dunya. His house has been bombed. His family has been massacred. What wealth does he have? What worldly power does he have? What blessings does he enjoy? And yet, through the strength and dignity of his iman, he won the mahaba of the world. That's how you gain mahaba. That's how you gain izzah. By showing, by your akhlaq and character, what it means to be a believer. By sacrificing the comforts of this dunya for the principles you firmly believe in. By having the confidence to say no, to do whatever is politically incorrect. If he wanted to, he could have done things and gotten away with it even. Gone on a type of spree that would be violence and whatnot. And he might even have been justified. But he chose the better path in his case. And that better path, which can only come from a love of Allah, from the strength of iman, that better path, it won the hearts and the minds of tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people in the world. You want to see mahaba? You see it in the manifestation of iman. In a person, a man or a woman, standing up for what they believe in. Sacrificing the short term in order to gain the long term. And not just our brother Khalid from Gaza, overall the people of Gaza, look, they have become role models. They've lost everything. Yet the whole world is looking up to them. And this shows us, to gain that izzah, that mahaba, we need to be principled people. We need to know what our foundations are. Goes back to my previous point. And then live up to those foundations. Exemplify, exude the reality of iman in our interactions with other people, showing the people what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a person who believes in God in a godless world, a person who is spiritual in a spiritually bankrupt world, a person who is ethical in an unethical world. That's how you gain mahaba in the long run. You think you're going to gain mahaba by flaunting your wealth, by showing your izzah through your cars and your possessions that you have? That is not how mahaba is gained. So you want to get that respect back. We have to think long term and live up to the ideals of what it means to be a Muslim. The fifth and last point, again, straight from the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And in your own hearts a weakness will come." They said, "What is that weakness?" He said, "A love of this dunya and a hatred of death." Notice the precision of the words here. A love of this dunya and a hatred of death. So, to be clear here, our religion does not say, don't live in the dunya. He didn't say living in the dunya. He said loving the dunya. You will live and you will flourish and you will enjoy the dunya. There's nothing wrong there. The Prophet ﷺ enjoyed the dunya. Some interpretations of Islam run away from enjoying the dunya. That is wrong. The Prophet ﷺ enjoyed the dunya. And those that tried to break away, he said, these are not following my sunnah. It is my sunnah to eat, to drink, to marry, to have children. You enjoy the dunya, no problem. But your goal is not the dunya. Your goal is not this world. What is a problem is not to live. It is not to enjoy. It is to love and to make it the final goal. That is where the problem comes. So what is going to happen? Your whole life will become only about the dunya. And you're going to forget the akhirah. And when that happens, then you've lost all nobility, because this dunya is not what makes you noble. Living in this dunya, animals do it as well. Every creation does it as well. What makes us different is when we live for the akhirah. What makes us spiritually free is when we break away from the confines of this dunya. When we live the way that Allah wanted us to live. Enjoy the dunya, but the heart is attached to the akhirah. Live in the dunya, but your goal, your desire is in the akhirah. And if Allah gives you the dunya, alhamdulillah, but you really desire the akhirah, that's your ultimate goal. And if you don't have the dunya, alhamdulillah, still, and you will still get the akhirah. This is the prophetic example. When we constantly remind ourselves of the temporality of the dunya, the fact that the akhirah is our ultimate destination, when we remind ourselves, how long am I going to live? 20 years, 50 years, then what? And then we think of death. The goal of thinking of death is not to live a morbid life, to become morose, to become somebody who's depressed. The goal of thinking about death is to live our life the most productive, the most useful. When we remember death, it's not that we go into hibernation and start crying. No, we say to ourselves, okay, well, I have one life to live. What can I accomplish that is the most significant? What legacy can I leave? What akhirah can I build? What can I do so that on the day of judgment, I can say to Allah, oh Allah, you gave me one life. This is what I did. So by thinking of death, we don't become depressed. We don't go down the road of depression. On the contrary, we become extra productive. We become ennobled. We start having long-term visions. What can I do for the short period of time? But when we don't think of the akhirah, and we don't think of death, and all we're thinking about is the dunya, 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 what's going to happen? Then all you're worried about is your bills and your children's tuition and this issue here and that issue there, and then that's it. You're just like every other animal on earth. What have you accomplished? So our Prophet ﷺ told us a number of ways to overcome being the froth and the foam and to start being the wave. So the question I'm going to leave all of you with is very simple. I extracted from this hadith 5 simple ways about how we can transform from being the froth and the foam to becoming the actual wave. The question to myself and all of you, what exactly are we doing? What changes are we going to do to stop being just the froth and the foam, and to start being the wave, to stop being impotent and to start being powerful, to stop being weak and to start being effective, to stop being useless and to start being useful? That is the question every one of us needs to ask ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us through the Quran, and may He make us of those who His verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. Ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him for His ghafoor and the rahman. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the one and the unique. He it is whom we worship, and it is His aid that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He answers the prayer of the weak. As to what follows, dear Muslims, leaders are not born, they are made. Heroes don't apply to become heroes. They take the challenges given to them, and they're fully mortal. They're not super divine. They don't come from the heavens. They take the challenges given to them and they make the most of those challenges one after the other until Allah writes for them a status they would otherwise have not gotten. I want to tell you a personal story that is relevant to our community. And the brother whom it involves has asked that he remain anonymous. Yesterday I got a phone call that one of our own brethren, he is sitting here today but he doesn't want his name to be known. He got a phone call from one of the medical facilities in the UN that is allowing doctors to come into Gaza. And within 20 minutes he had to make a decision. Should I leave my practice, leave my comfort of my home, leave my family and children, and go and help the Muslims of Gaza right now? Right now, he's leaving in 2 hours right now. Should I leave now? No money, no izzah in this dunya, possibility of not returning. Should I give up the comfort of this dunya and potentially never come back? Or should I just give a generic excuse, nobody's gonna know, and that's it, life goes on? And one of his friends called and told me that he didn't tell me himself, but this friend told me he's made the decision to go. I immediately rushed over to his house, and subhanAllah, this is what you call true leadership. This is what you call true leadership. To give up everything handed to you and to walk into a war zone knowing that this evil apartheid regime has not even stopped at bombing hospitals, knowing that they've murdered and massacred tens of thousands of people, and you're going to willingly walk in because, hey, I might save some people and help these kids and whatnot, and walk in not knowing if you're going to come back. If this is not, and I will say it bluntly, I don't care what the videos say, if this is not jihad, then what is jihad? And to know that this brother is one of our own, you all know him, one of our regulars, and mashallah, tabarakallah, this is happening. This is not something far away. We have amongst us those who, alhamdulillah, and you know, I'm saying this in front of him, he has to battle his own niyyah for sure, there's no doubt. This is a big issue internally. You guys don't know him, I know him, his family knows, obviously. That's between him and Allah. But for the rest of us, wallahi, this is a role model moment. This is a point of leadership. This is how real heroes are formed. And we still have them amongst us. I had to console his wife yesterday. She doesn't know if her husband's going to come back or not. And she's obviously emotional. I said, you know, Allah has blessed you, dear sister of ours. How you're feeling is how every single sister of Gaza feels every single day. And Allah has blessed you out of millions of us here. Allah has chosen you to be in the camp of the sisters of Gaza. So you are doing your jihad. Your husband is doing his jihad. The children who are now young men and women had to be told your father might not come back. They're doing their jihad. Every one of them. And I say this publicly on the mimbar. If this is not an example for all of us to learn and benefit from, if this does not inspire us, going back to my khutbah today, how do you go from being the foam to becoming the wave? Every one of you, ask yourself, what can I do? And this brother is not some Shaykhul Islam, he's not some Mufti and Alim, but I swear to you right now, he is the Shaykhul Islam and I am nobody compared to him. He is the real hero, and all of us here are doing what? When you do what Allah allows you to do, and when you reach your potential, that is how you contribute to the ummah. That brother is doing what he needs to do. I hope I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. If every one of us comes to the forefront, if every one of us looks at what can I do and benefit the ummah, and you do 110% of what Allah gave you to do, then wallahi, we don't care if all the dynasties abandon us. We don't care if we don't have the oil money. What we will have is Allah's barakah, Allah's izzah, Allah's pleasure. And when we will have Allah's pleasure, we will overcome every single enemy like the Sahaba did. It's really that simple. There is no detailed rocket science about this. You give 110% for the cause of Allah. You excel in what you can do, whatever it might be. And if every one of us were to do this at our own level, and if we were to be visionaries thinking 5-10 steps ahead, if we make our own selves and our families and our acquaintances as good as we can, as pious as we can, if every one of us did this, would this not be a revolution that will literally change not just this city, the entire globe. So I finish where I began with. How do you go from being the froth and the foam to becoming the wave? Be sincere to Allah. Be proud of who you are. Go deep in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get rid of the love of the dunya and think about the akhir. We only have one life to live. Our brother, he asked this dua from me. This is the dua I'm going to make for him. He said that if I'm never going to come back, may Allah accept my death as a shaheed. And if I do come back, may Allah allow me to come back safe and sound with all of my limbs on me, alhamdulillah. This is, he's laughing and joking, but this is the dua that he makes. And I said, ameen to your dua. Ameen to your dua. This is what we need to look to for within ourselves. What can I do? What can I contribute to benefit this ummah? And so, sisters and brothers, heroes and legends are not just around the world. You can be in your own life a legend. You can be a hero, not for the sake of the dunya, for the sake of yourselves, for the sake of the akhirah. You can move mountains. You can bring about a change. You just have to be confident in what Allah has blessed you with. Be confident in your iman and taqwa. Be confident in your relationship with Allah. Be confident in who you are as a Muslim, as a mu'min. Give back to your community. Start bringing that change about. And slowly but surely, victory is promised for the believers. That is without a doubt. If you are a believer, victory is promised. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي Allah has decreed that I shall win and my prophet shall win. That is the decree of Allah. The question is not whether victory will happen or not. The question is, are you worthy of it? Are you on the side of the prophets? Are you actually standing up where you should stand up? That is the question. And so ask yourself today, what can I do to change from being the froth and the foam to becoming the wave? And in answering that question, and in living up to that challenge, and in maximizing your potential, that is how you will become from the froth to the wave. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tad'a fi hal yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma aghfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wa la taj'a fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. Rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma man aradana aw arada al-islam والمسلمين بالسوء فاشغله من نفسه واجعل تدبيره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يجد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى